What's shaking, wrestling fans? It is Monday, March 31st, and we just finished watching the final Monday Night Raw on the road to WrestleMania, and it is time for us to gather as we do for the final Raw post-show before WrestleMania. Certainly, we should be expecting things to be firing in all cylinders. Did WWE deliver? We're going to talk about that and more as we go through tonight's show. First off, let me introduce the panel of hosts that we have here. First off, from the Spark Out Moment website, the leader of the Smack Talk podcast, and also a very busy man with tons of other projects, Mr. Tony Mango. What's shaking, Tony?
Not too much. What's up with you, buddy?
I think I'm going to have a good time tonight.
Good.
You know, regardless of what Raw had to deliver, always have a blast here on Mega Powers Radio, talking to y'all and also inviting everyone out there listening. Next up, we also have the host of Addicted to Anime here on Mega Powers Radio, Mr. Steven Huego. What's shaking, Steven? Steven?
Moo.
Maybe you don't have a Steven. Okay.
Steven?
Can you guys not hear me? Or are you trying to play an April Fool's on me?
We didn't hear you for like the first bit there.
Oh, am I here or I'm not?
Well, now we hear you.
Okay. Well, I'm doing pretty good. Weak build up to WrestleMania, but the Raw wasn't too bad.
Weak build up to the show. Thanks, Steven. And also, last person introduced, Mr. Miguel Leon. Welcome, Miguel.
See, unlike Monday Night Raw, this show actually has an intro.
Very astute observation there. It continued all the way through this year, 2014. I don't think we've seen one actual Raw introduction. Rather a shame. But let's talk about the actual meat of what we got tonight. As I said, it was the final Raw going into WrestleMania. I think we saw a lot of hype for what we have going into WrestleMania. I think, unfortunately, what they also did is the fact that they had a lot of matches that are on the WrestleMania card. So it's kind of like you watch tonight's Raw and why do I want to order WrestleMania now? I just saw Orton and Batista battle. I saw the tag match happen pretty much. I saw all the people in the Battle Royal go in there and duke it out.
Same thing with the Divas Battle Royal.
Yeah, all the Divas were out there duking it out. Like what is there to see? Spend the I guess it's only going to be $10 if you got the network, but if you're still old fashioned, you're ordering on pay per view. What is it, $65 now for HD?
I think it's safe to say that they pretty much don't care about the pay per view from the pay per view side. Like they barely mention the whole like, oh yeah, and call your local or cable satellite provider and order that, but make sure to buy it on the network first.
Yeah, indeed. So, first thing I always like to do here is go around to the panel of hosts that we have and ask them what the number one thing they took away from the show. And I think on this, more importantly than any other show, is the thing to ask, because this is the final Raw going into Mania. We should feel super hyped for it. Is that what we feel? Let's go around and find out. First off, Tony, why don't you take over?
Number one thing I took away? Triple H is a dick. Isn't he? Jesus, mm-hmm. That promo? What
absolutely.
An ass.
That was brutal.
Absolutely. Miguel?
I don't know if it was a Raw that sold me on WrestleMania, but in terms of the last few Raws that I've actually had a chance to see, I thoroughly enjoyed this one. I mean, obviously I can complain about the fact that it's still too long, but I think that's just something I got to get used to watching more and more episodes of Raw. But yeah, I enjoyed myself watching this show. I thoroughly enjoyed it. You know, a hiccup here and there, but it was a lot of fun.
Wago, how about you? What's the number one thing you took away from tonight's show?
I really got into Triple H's promo, and the rest of the show was just kind of there. But yeah, Triple H's stuff is pretty goddamn good.
Indeed. I think the number one thing I took away is that WWE has really forgotten how to book WrestleMania. I don't know if Tony borrowed this for his, what do you call it, your Did You Know segment for every week you have on Smack Talk. Mm-hmm. He was at a loss of which one he wanted to use, and I recommended Did You Know That WrestleMania Is Only a Week Away? It sure doesn't feel like it.
I did use that.
And it's true. I mean, it does not feel like WrestleMania season to me, and it felt like that last year, too. And I don't know if maybe if I'm just getting jaded, maybe I'm having a hard time getting into it, but do you guys agree? It just does not feel like they've done an amazing job building this to be the biggest thing of the year. At most, it feels like a slightly more important pay-per-view.
I think it's kind of the end result of just them not really paying much attention to their pay-per-views at all. You know, it started off with the regular pay-per-views, then the big three, and now pretty much WrestleMania is now starting to feel the after effect. I mean, that's... none of the pay-per-views really feel any special anymore, but now it's gone to the point where even WrestleMania doesn't feel special that much.
Tony, what about you? Do you think they've done a significant job?
You know, it kind of feels a little bit more like a SummerSlam. There's just not that one little extra bit that puts it over the edge. And especially when it comes to how this is supposed to be WrestleMania 30, this should be huge. It should be bigger than all of the other WrestleManias that we've seen in the past couple of years combined. Mm-hmm. And it's really just kind of, yeah, it's more important than, you know, say, a Backlash type of a pay-per-view or even something like a Night of Champions, which kind of is special in its own right, but it doesn't feel WrestleMania worthy, let alone WrestleMania 30 worthy.
And I remember last year, one of the things a lot of people made an excuse for was, oh, well, you know, maybe they're reserving a lot of the big things from 29 to make WrestleMania 30 a bigger deal. Well, right. Now we're looking back, it doesn't look like they did that.
I, you know what I can compare this to, honestly? To me, it reminds me a lot of WrestleMania 20. It's almost a weird transition period because you're starting to see a lot of newer faces in the main event picture. You know, your Daniel Bryan's, the Shield is going to be profiled a lot more. You've got a lot of these new you got a lot of fresh faces coming in, but at the same time, they haven't yet, in my opinion, really. It's the first time we're seeing them in this spot, so it doesn't feel as it doesn't feel as big as it probably will maybe next year or something. You know, it's kind of in that same vein as the same way I felt for 20 when you started to see a lot of the older faces transition out and new guys start to come in. You know, we saw it happen. You know, it came full circle for 21, but this is, I think, kind of the growing pains period. You know, the start of a new era.
And, you know, a lot of people look back and almost consider WrestleMania 20 one of the greatest WrestleManias of all time. So it is kind of funny that you can compare it to that. Maybe retrospectively we will be able to look back in this because there are a lot of people stepping up that could steal the show. I mean, this Shield match, we always are knocking on this, but the Shield always deliver no matter what they're in there with. And it's not like Kane and New Age Outlaws are any kind of slouches. They're professionals, so maybe that match is going to deliver. This 30-man over-the-top Battle Royal, I like Battle Royal, so I might like this. I just not sure about who they're going to have win it and if they're going to be able to follow up with it afterwards. Everything else is just kind of like this Divas match I do not have expectations for at all. Brock versus Taker is the only match that I feel like they've really gotten a good storyline going into it, and even that is all one-sided. Like, I until tonight, we saw nothing in the favor of Brock Lesnar until tonight. I want to grab one thing out of the chat room here. We actually have Creepus on the radar saying that this year is the worst, and I could agree. I feel like if I'm looking back to the years, with the exception of maybe 27, this might be the worst build for a WrestleMania. But Wago, we didn't get your opinion. How do you feel about this show being built?
I don't think Mania's being built at all well. And I'm kind of grown to expect it. I didn't feel in the WrestleMania spirit last year or the year prior, so it doesn't surprise me. The Brock Lesnar and Undertaker match, there's nothing selling me on that match as Brock looking like a legitimate threat. They pretty much said at the start of it, yeah, he's going to lose. But and tonight, 1F5's meant to sell me on that, so I'm not at all into that feud, and I was expecting that to be the savior of WrestleMania. I'm not going to sleep on the Shield match. I think that's got a lot of potential to be really good. And Daniel Bryan and Triple H, I think, is the only match that's really been built up well.
Yeah, I kind of forgot about that one. They've been doing a little bit for that. The weird thing is they kind of left Daniel Bryan out of the picture up until the very end of Raw tonight and all through last week. So I almost forgot that Daniel Bryan was even a part of this. But it's weird how they got that going there. I feel like when you're trying to do this authority type storyline, you would have had more going on between these two. And it feels like this was, I don't want to use that term rushed again, but when you think about Stone Cold and McMahon, they went years keeping those guys away from really being able to touch each other. And these guys just kind of like, yeah, they had their problems through since SummerSlam, but it was more Daniel Bryan opposing the guys that Triple H is putting in front of him rather than Triple H actually being the problem himself. Well, it wasn't until a month ago that we actually saw these guys.
Keep in mind, up until this point, it seemed like the match they were building up towards was actually Punk versus Triple H. They had no intention of slotting Bryan into here. And I you can tell when you see the buildup, especially within the last few weeks between the, you know, Orton and Batista, that's where they were going towards. That's where they had all their eggs in one basket. And Bryan kind of, unfortunately, became, kind of in a there's a word for it, but he basically was forced. He was forced into that spot due to Punk leaving and them not having a strong enough face in the main event. And since Batista really didn't click with the fans when he came back, you know, a victim of circumstance. That's what I meant.
Wago, what were you gonna say?
Oh, I totally forgot.
Okay. Well, I'm going to go ahead and open up the phone lines a little early. Usually we wait until 11:30, but we already got a couple people in line. Let's start getting what your opinions are. After all, that's what this show is all about. Opening it up, only show that allows you, the listeners, to get your opinions openly out there on the air. We're not just going to stream little tweets across the bottom of the screen. We're actually going to let you speak your voice on the show. If you want to get in line behind the callers, you already got there. Number you can dial in, area code 760-512-7247. You can also use 713-955-0363. Both numbers will get you in line on the boards. You can also dial in using Skype by hitting the little Skype icon on the top of the broadcast page. And, of course, the chat room. By scrolling down all the way to the bottom, we already got Creepas on the Radar, Grapple This Production, Slim RJS, and of course our very own Steven Wago holding down things in the chat room. Let's go ahead and bring on our first caller, though, from the 412 area code, good friend of the show, JD from Pittsburgh. What's shaking, JD?
Well, guys, counting down the days to my trip, and I just figured I'd call you guys in tonight.
Totally, man. What day do you leave?
I leave Thursday morning.
Ah, that's excellent. So what are you going to do through the day for Thursday, Friday, and are you going to be attending the Hall of Fame on Saturday?
No, I won't be at the Hall of Fame Saturday. Friday night, I'll be at Access, though. Thursday night, we're going to do some sightseeing. We're going to probably do some sightseeing because we get in the afternoon, but we're going out to dinner Thursday night. The next Monday, I won't be able to get in with you guys, unfortunately, because I will be at Raw, and I'll tell you what, it's going to be crazy.
It's a good excuse, man.
Yes. Very good excuse, but I'll tell you what, though. I mean, you can just get the chills. I mean, a lot of people are just stoked for this. I know I've been stoked for this now for a while now. I mean, tonight it wasn't a bad show in DC. I thought they put a pretty good show on tonight. There were some good things about it tonight, and there were some things I kind of didn't like. The whole Piper's Pit segment was kind of cheesy and hokey for me. The opening match was good. I am glad that Daniel Bryan put Triple H in his place, and I hope he will put him in his place come Sunday, because I think if Daniel Bryan didn't get win on Sunday, then that's just absolute bullshit, because once again, Triple H has his nose up Stephanie's ass, and of course his father-in-law's ass, because it's his way, because he thinks he's the man. Well, guess what? I think it's Daniel Bryan's time to show, and he will show it on Sunday night, if you ask me. I mean, it'll be bullshit if they don't make him the champion come Sunday night.
So we were just talking here about the job that they've done building up not just this as WrestleMania, but the biggest WrestleMania of all time, because it's WrestleMania 30. Do you think they've done that?
I think they haven't done it too much, but they've done enough, however, as much as they can. They've just been so worried about this goddamn network thing. They've dealt with the CM Punk thing. I do think you're going to see CM Punk. I have a funny feeling. I know a lot of people keep saying, oh, CM Punk's not coming back. CM Punk's not coming back. I think you're going to see him come back. I just don't think you're going to see him at WrestleMania, but I do think you will see him back, however, sometime before the summer begins or around the summertime, because they're going to be in June.
Yeah, you tell me, JD.
They got a pay-per-view coming up in June in Chicago, and it would make sense for him to come back right then and there and stick it to them in more ways than one. But there's one thing they keep saying, however, and I'm reading right now an article that one of the guys wrote, said that there's possible that they'll talk about maybe bringing in Sting. However, I think you might see Sting maybe make his debut. The only question is, do you wait maybe until Sunday night maybe to have him show up at WrestleMania? Do you say next Monday night, hey, guess what? We're going to start building up next year already, and we're going to have that big match between Sting and the Taker, depending on what happens with Taker on Sunday night with Brock Lesnar. I don't know. I mean, they've got a lot of things right now. They've got a torque and tweak and this and that, however, in the next couple of days.
they could twerk it, too.
That's our new word of the night. But no, it's gonna be an interesting show. And I'll tell you what, however, I mean, the buy rates have been great the first two shows. They need a home run here, and I think they're gonna try to hit at least a home run on Sunday night. And I think they're gonna, like I said, I will be there, and I think they're gonna have a big, big crowd in New Orleans. 80,000 people are gonna be doing the yes movement when this night's over. And if they don't, however, so be it. But like I said, Howard, I think it'll be bullshit if they don't give Daniel Bryan his feel-good moment. He's been waiting for so long. They've effed him over so many times, and they've had Stephanie and Triple H run their mouths all they can. Well, guess what? Your foot's going to be in your mouth this time, because Daniel Bryan will leave the new heavyweight champion.
If this pay-per-view does not end with a crowd of 80,000 people chanting yes together, It's done wrong. Yep. And to be able to be a part of that, I am so jealous, because that's got to be such an experience to just be a part of and actually like that. I went to one of the first pay-per-views after the whole Yes thing really started. It was No Way Out in 2012, I believe it was. And that's when like people are like just happy, like, oh my God, there's this Yes thing. It's really cool. Let's do it. And since then, it's just taken on a whole life of its own. It's gonna be a mob scene.
I mean, Saturday night in the French Quarter. I mean, people who aren't going on to the Hall of Fame like me. However, I mean, you're gonna probably see like Bourbon Street filled with a lot of Yes shirts. I mean, it's gonna be. I mean, that and the Shield are gonna be the biggest sellers, I think, of this pay per view. I think those are the two guys that are gonna make this pay per view happen. The Andre the Giant Battle Royal should be okay, but again, I'm not real excited. I'm not even excited about the Diva thing. I mean, I watched Total Divas last night. You talk about another shitty show again. It comes off as Summer Rae's the little whore, however, basically, because she thinks she can do whatever she wants because basically she has that power. Well, guess what? Natty had every reason, however, to get defensive on her in more ways than one last night.
I was shocked that she got this win tonight. I thought
when I saw
them having a match, I got that sinking feeling in my stomach, and I'm like, oh, no. And if Summer Rae has a snowball's chance in hell of winning that Battle Royal, I'm done with the Divas division.
You were really shocked that Natalya would actually take a fall in a match? You apparently haven't been watching enough wrestling.
I just don't buy Summer Rae being a legitimate threat, as opposed to if Natalya would seem like a legitimate threat.
She and Ava Marie are the biggest clumsy doofuses in the ring. They can't sell. They can't take a bump. They can't even talk. I mean, Jessica Rabbit. I mean, freaking Ava Marie's the Jessica Rabbit redheaded rabbit, basically. Let's be real, guys. Come on. But like I said, I mean, I just want to get my two cents in with you guys tonight, however.
You're always welcome to, JD. As we always like to wrap it up here, your high point and your low point for tonight's Raw.
Well, high point, I think Daniel Bryan coming out in the main event, however, and sticking it to Triple H. I think they definitely got the crowd excited, however. Now it's going to be even louder, however, come Sunday. And like I said, I think the low point, however, has to be the Divas Battle Royal. I mean, the Divas thing and the Piper segment, too.
Yeah, anything where you try to throw too many people in one segment always ends up being a clusterfuck. JD, we appreciate your call as always, man. Have a tremendous trip down to New Orleans. I'm very jealous. I'm sure you're going to have a blast, not just for the wrestling-related stuff, but just because New Orleans is one of the best party towns in the country. I'm sure you're going to have a great, great time.
I will, and I appreciate it, guys. I'll talk to you in a couple weeks when I come home. I'll let you know how it went. It's going to be a fun time. I hope you guys enjoy the show. Sundays, I'll be down there in person.
Awesome, man. Thanks very much. Have an excellent time. Talk to you in a couple weeks, bro. All right. From that, we're going to move on to our next caller. First, just reminding all y'all listening out there, if you want to get yourself in line, the phone lines will be remaining open for the remainder of the show. Area code 760-512-7247. You can also dial in using Skype by hitting the Skype icon, or the chat room is running nicely in there. See, Creepers on Radar saying, if you ask me, Cena is going to end the streak, and Taker hinted at it tonight. Really? I missed that. When did Taker hint at Cena beating the streak? You have to fill me in on that one. We'll follow up with that. First, let's take on to our next caller from the 773 area code. Caller from 773, you're live on the Raw Post Show. What's your name and where are you calling from?
What's going on, man? Gio in Chicago, Illinois. Yay.
Gio from Chicago. Welcome to the Raw Post Show, man. How'd you feel about the show tonight?
Could have been better for, you know, the last Monday to the road of WrestleMania. And excuse me, is this PG, by the way?
No, you could speak whatever language you want, man.
Okay, I just, you know, it just sort of slips out. I don't mean to, but hey.
It's all good, bro.
Yeah, as far as my lowest point, the Divas and that Andre the Giant Battle Royal thing with Piper. You know what? I was actually expecting, like, a surprise entrant, you know, because there's still four spots remaining. Maybe like a Rob Van Dam or something like that. But obviously it was pretty cheesy. I mean, what the hell, you know? But, yeah, the biggest point of tonight's Raw was obviously the Daniel Bryan point towards the end. You know, fucking always gives me pleasure to see Triple H get his ass beat, you know? Especially with that kendo stick.
Oh, those things are vicious, man. That thing got good use tonight between being Batista getting hit so many times with it in Triple H. I cringed a lot through that.
Yeah, that too. I'm going to tell you guys something. I don't know if it's just me, or have you guys ever noticed that every year the Hall of Fame seems to get smaller and smaller with classes? Have you guys, ever noticed that?
I feel like there have been years when I look back and you saw the screen was filled up significantly more. I think they have had years where they had 8 or 9, but they still have, what, 7 this year? You also got to figure a lot of years they include a tag team, which makes it look bigger.
They're running out of people to induct.
That too. I'm actually impressed that they were able to get as good of a team this year as they did.
Yeah, you know what? It's pretty cool. You know, class. I mean, it's unbelievable. We got Razor Ramon. Who do you got? Warriors.
Jake the Snake. Lita.
Right, Lita.
The only one that's kind of out there is that Carlos Colon. And Carlos Colon.
And yeah, him. But you know what? Like I noticed that they always try to make fillers. You know, why not throw in somebody like? Doesn't have to be a big name, but a deserving title. Maybe like a Terry Taylor, a Slick, a One Man Gang. Maybe, you know, you could throw that in there. I mean, I know Terry Taylor works behind the offices and stuff, so why not have him, you know, being inducted this year? Just to throw a boner, you know.
Oh my God, there's so many people with that list. You got people like Michael Hayes, who still hasn't gone in there, and he's part of one of the most important factions throughout the history of wrestling, not to mention his backstage work.
Right,
as
exactly.
He used to be one of the head writers of SmackDown for a number of years. I mean, the guy has done so many contributions for that company and wrestling in general. And of course, you know, all the posthumous inductions you could do, all the big names out of the 80s. It does feel kind of wrong that you're putting in names from the late 90s when there's still so many people from the late 80s and early 90s you haven't done. Hercules Hernandez. Hernandez, Earthquake. There's like so many random names that should be going in there.
You know what? I love history, so I would even go back to the 70s, 60s. If you can. How about mm-hmm. somebody like Luthez? I don't believe is in it, right?
Luthez is not in there. Yes,
I believe he might have been put in during back when they had the Hall of Fame in the 90s. He might have been put in at that point.
I think he said that he didn't want to be in it.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Luthez is not in there. And a lot of those like really big traditionalists, like the Luthezes right. and the Frank Gotches and the George Hackenschmidts, they're not in there, which is a travesty.
There you go.
Even Bruno didn't want to be in for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So who would you put in there, Gio? You said you're a traditionalist. Man. Who would you grab from those generations to put in there?
Have you guys ever heard of Gabe Tufts? You know what? Baron Von Raschke. Why not him?
Oh, totally Baron Von Raschke. The next time you have a Raw in that area, like Detroit or Milwaukee or something like that, you have to put someone like him and the Crusher.
Right. The Crusher. There you go. Let's see. Who else we got?
Mustache Calhoun.
How about Ivan Koloff? Nikita Koloff? You know, these guys, they're well-deserved and stuff, you know?
Yeah, if Nikolai Volkov is in there, then why not? Should have just had a whole Russian class.
Why not
class.
Put La Parka if Coco Beware is there?
Oh, my God.
Maybe Volkov can be inducted by Lana.
What, no love for SD Jones?
Oh, my goodness.
Him, too. I forgot about him. You're right. You're right. You're right.
So, Gio.
Question,
well, go ahead, Gio.
Yeah.
No, go to your question, please.
Okay, in a fantasy world, if Puck didn't walk off / took a little hiatus or whatever, obviously the plan was for him and Triple H to go one-on-one. Mm-hmm. So what would Daniel Bryan be left in all this? If Puck would not leave it. What do you guys think what would happen to him? A match with Kane maybe, or I don't know.
It's a shame because if it was a perfect world, I would have had him win the Rumble and go into the title match. But then you got to consider they threw that spot to Batista. Where Daniel Bryan gets left, that's a big, big question. I mean, there was all those people talking about that match with Sheamus. I definitely did not buy that.
Oh, no.
Oh my gosh. What do you do with Daniel Bryan? I refuse to believe that what they have now was the plan all along. That's absolutely impossible for me to grasp that.
No, I totally agree with you guys, yeah.
Miguel, what about you? You got some ideas for that?
I think it would have probably gone to Kane. It seems like they were building towards that. In a perfect world, though, if it were my choice, I don't know. Okay, I think I did this idea when I was when we were doing the fantasy booking.
Mm-hmm.
If they were, since they had the whole thing between Daniel Bryan and the Wyatts, I probably would have built to a Wyatt family versus Cena and Bryan match. And I think I even said, you know, if you could maybe have him do some spot, I probably would have had it be a 6-man between the Wyatt family and Bray Wyatt, obviously, versus Bryan, Cena, and this is gimmicky, but I would have put Hogan in there. I would have put the three biggest.
You know what? I completely agree with you. Yeah, I'm like 100% sure that would have happened.
I would have, you know what, it would have been gimmicky, and Hogan probably would have just been in there to maybe throw a few punches and do his whole hulking up thing. But
yeah,
I mean, like you said, like I said, it's like you've got three of the biggest stars in the company against the Wyatts. It's gimmicky, but I think that could have worked. That could have been a great little moment for those guys.
Yeah,
Tony Wago,
right.
Tony Wago, you got any input you want to put on that?
I think had the plans not been shaken up with CM Punk leaving, Daniel Bryan would be wrestling Sheamus or Kane. I really don't think they had many plans for him. I think they just got put in a situation where the fans shit all over them, and this is what we got.
Mm-hmm. I don't think they had any ideas. I think that they were going to end up coming into a situation where around Elimination Chamber, they were going to have to sit down and rush a whole bunch of nonsense. And I think that those reports that we were hearing that they might have Sheamus against Daniel Bryan could have ended up actually happening, because they would have been delusional enough to think, well, you know, they've got this history with WrestleMania. We never really did get to see that match. Why don't we turn Sheamus heel and make him a buddy with Triple H? And the people will love that, right? Sheamus is a big star. And, you know, Daniel Bryan, well, fuck him, kind of. And now they're forced into doing what everybody wants.
Wasn't it Daniel Bryan who injured Sheamus back in July? I believe so.
Yeah, it was.
It was, right? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Huh.
There was enough backstory there. I just feel like that's just not enough. After you've built this extended storyline that's been going since the summer of last year, to have it just go to Daniel Bryan Sheamus would not have been enough.
It's always been kind of weird how Daniel Bryan's been involved with the Authority, but they didn't really seem to have an end goal in mind for what they wanted to do with him.
Mm.
It's just a real confusing situation. I don't know what was going through their heads.
I think it was.
Hey guys, I got another quick question.
What's up, Gio?
Is Big Show still broke, by the way?
Broke? Oh, no, yeah, no, man. He's got that ironclad contract.
Well, did he ever get him?
Oh, he's on an ironclad contract. He can do whatever he wants.
Oh, okay. I thought he was out of money, according to that storyline, which was pathetic. I don't know, man.
No. He works for JBL now. JBL owns him now.
Makes sense. Another one of those deals. Gio, you actually took the thing that we usually finish our calls with, the high point, low point. So why don't we actually rip it up with what I've been starting the calls with tonight? We've already went all over talking about different things at wrestling. But do you feel that WWE has done a good enough job building this up, not just as the biggest show of the year, but as the biggest WrestleMania through all the WrestleManias?
Not of all, but I mean, I think they're trying their best because they got no choice. You know, with Punk leaving, with fans just basically hijacking shows and stuff. They're trying to, you know, I don't know. They're like back into a wall and shit, you know? But, I mean, it's like they had no choice but to fucking. We obviously know Daniel Bryan's going to be in that main event. He's going to go over Triple H, you know? But, decent, I guess I would say. But,
all right.
I don't know. Me, I'm very old school. I'm just, you know, hyped up to see fucking Taker and Lesnar. Really.
Mm-hmm. Gio, how are you going to be watching this weekend?
Obviously, the network, through PlayStation 3.
Excellent. Not a bad decision. All right, Gio, thanks a lot for calling in. Calling again anytime, man. We're here every week.
Thanks a lot, Barry. Thanks for having me.
Have a good night, man. All right, two excellent calls in a row. And, of course, if you listening would like to also call in, dial in area code 760-512-7247. You can also dial in using Skype or in the chat room. Lots of cool things going on in there. Grapple This Productions, let's see, the broke storyline, of course, talking about the whole thing with Big Show being broke, had all the stink of a Russo theme. Absolutely, almost thinking like Russo was working for them again. Other than that, a lot of you guys in there are talking about basketball. I can't follow. I'm sorry. Of course, you could talk about whatever the heck you want, but if you are a basketball fan, go ahead and join them in there. They're talking about who has the odds, who they think are going to finish up winning this March Madness tournament.
Are they talking about the Batista promo with the basketball?
Speaking of March Madness tournaments, we're in the quarterfinals for the Keeping Kayfabe March Madness tournament to crown the best tag team of all time. So if you want to go ahead and vote, go to keepingkayfabe.com. Pretty much all the teams you would have expected to have made the Elite Eight have done it. It's the Dudleys, the Hardys, Edge and Christian, Road Warriors, Heart Foundation. Although the one Cinderella team that made it is the APA. I don't know if I would have necessarily expected them. I mean, I really like the APA, but I am shocked that they made it all the way to the Elite Eight. So go ahead to keepingkayfabe.com. Vote for who you think should be the best tag team of all time. In the meantime, we're going to continue the conversation about tonight's Raw and the build to WrestleMania here on the NPR Raw post show. Guys, let's go back around to you. Let's start at the very beginning of the show. We started with The Undertaker. Really cool way to start off the show. Undertaker comes out, though. He does not have the best promo. He talks about being dragged out to water, and at one point he starts talking about taxes. I really zoned out at that point. Lesnar and Heyman interrupt at one point. This all ends with Lesnar hitting the F5, finally getting some offense on The Undertaker, and that's pretty much all we got building this up. I feel like it's a little bit of a letdown, but good that we finally saw Lesnar get his offense in. Miguel?
I'm with you. It kind of rang flat up until Lesnar got his offense. I do feel that they really needed to do that for us to really believe that there's any sort of actual competition between these two. I think they've kind of been resting too much on just Lesnar being Lesnar, but you needed to push it a little bit more. And excuse me a second. I'm glad that they did. You know, I'm glad that we got that last nail in the build up before the actual match itself.
Wago, did you see this?
The opening segment? Yeah, I was actually home for once, and I thought it was kind of sucky. The promo was terrible, and we got an F5 out of it, and since how weak the build-up has been so far, I was expecting something more, so maybe I just got my hopes up too high.
And Tony, you did not see this.
No, actually, I did get to see it. I skipped a little bit of it, though. For those that are going to be listening to the rest of this, I ended up skipping a lot of this episode because I was watching the finale of How I Met Mother, which was disappointing, but I'm not going to talk about that.
Oh, no!
But I was able to skip forward through a lot of things that weren't going to be entertaining, like, you know, Brock Lesnar coming out there and wasting about 2 minutes, and then Undertaker's entrance. I've seen it a million times. I can rush and, you know, skip forward past that. But I did watch this, and I was really confused about the death and taxes thing. It almost seemed like Undertaker just filled out his taxes, and he was just pissed or something. Like, and he's talking about everything's, like, the normal kind of stuff. You know, like, I'm going to win, and the streak's always going to go on. I'm the Undertaker, and fuck you, and, like, all this other kind of stuff. And it's still just as underwhelming as it was before. I don't care if Brock Lesnar hits an F5 on him. It's not going to make me think that he has a chance at winning. They've basically built this whole thing up as the Undertaker is going to win, and wouldn't it be cool if Sting comes out the night after WrestleMania? So maybe the trick here is he shouldn't give him an F5, he should give him a 401k.
We got a question in the chat room for us here from Grapple This Productions. It says, with Lesnar F5-ing Taker, does this destroy the WrestleMania match a la a Jim Cornette rant over burying a character, in this case, The Undertaker? I'm guessing what he's saying is, did Brock look too strong over The Undertaker going into this match? And I don't think he did. Taker has pretty much been completely dominant throughout this whole thing, showing that he's not just, I wouldn't say stronger, but definitely has the mind game advantage. Finally, we have to have something that shows that Brock Lesnar has some kind of advantage, and it's one, that he is a brute, and two, that he has Paul Heyman there to cause a distraction. So you have to put some kind of doubt in our heads that Brock Lesnar has a chance of winning this matchup. Any of you guys have anything you want to add to that?
As far as the whole build-up to this match, it should have been Brock Lesnar kicking the fuck out of Undertaker every week after the pen stab. Mm-hmm. I do not like the way they've built this. You need to make it look like Brock can totally destroy Undertaker going in this match. He's the most legitimate athlete they have, being a former UFC fighter. He looks like a beast, and he comes across as, like, the biggest, meanest-looking bastard other than Mark Henry on the roster, and that's what he needs to be used as. And he's always gone for this match, and he just does not seem like a threat. They totally botched the build to it.
I think that's the biggest problem that WWE has had with Lesnar is they're afraid to fully embrace UFC Brock Lesnar. You know, it's kind of like what Mark Madden said. They paid for UFC Brock Lesnar, but they've been treating him like WWE Brock Lesnar. Like, he's just a regular guy who just happens to be a big name star. But we're not going to show you why he's a big name star. You already know he's a big name star. You know, they really needed to show why this guy at one time was considered, you know, one of the most dangerous men in sports, because, you know, look at what he did in the UFC. You can't just hide behind this notion that people are already going to know. You got to show it.
I think they accomplished that during the first match with Cena. It's just after the way they ended it, they treated him like crap afterwards.
Exactly.
Did you see that commercial tonight that was like, if you want to see the career of Brock Lesnar, purchase the UFC ticket or whatever it's called.
I was wondering.
That was very well played by the UFC.
Yeah, it was.
I was wondering if I was the only one that saw that, like if it was just a local thing, because I mentioned it online. I'm like, am I the only one who's seeing these promos? But no, apparently not.
Yeah, very, very well played. Tony, do you have any input you wanted to put on that?
I think if anything, Undertaker looks stronger out of this. Oddly enough, because he got up pretty fast after taking that F5. It almost seemed like Brock Lesnar hit the only move that he has in his arsenal that can do anything. And Taker was like, ah, damn, that kind of hurt. Ah, that'll suck tomorrow. And just got up and was like, that segment's over with. Didn't seem like he was out cold. There was no, you know, worrying about an injury or holy shit, he just decimated the Undertaker and made him his little bitch. Like, none of that. He just hit a move. I mean, it's the same as when John Cena can give somebody an attitude adjustment and they roll out of the ring. And then, you know, when they're playing John Cena's theme, that person's standing up and holding their back like it just, you know, they pulled something.
It didn't even go that deep as like most Brock Lesnar beatdowns where it gets to the point where Paul Heyman always has to come. And he's like, he's had enough, Brock. He's had enough.
Right. It was like, hit the F5. Now we're going to run.
F5 and we're gone.
And it's done. All right, we're going to bring in another caller who's been waiting patiently. We're going to get him in here. Caller from the 817 area code. You're live on the NPR Raw Post Show. What's your name and where are you calling from?
It's Brian Brain, Fort Worth. How's it going, guys?
Oh, Brian, we haven't heard you in a few weeks. Tremendous to have you back, bro. How you doing?
Good, good, good. Watch Raw tonight. Decent, not great, but I think good, decent build for Mania 30.
What are you most excited for going into WrestleMania 30?
Actually, John Cena versus Bray Wyatt.
Right on, man. Right on.
Did that video package have a lot to do with that?
Yeah, tonight's Cena moment with him actually breaking character for 2.2 seconds and coming up there in the mask, it was like, this is the Cena we need to see more of. You know, less of the purple headbands and tennis shoes and shorts, you know, let's see a Cena that's a little bit evil, you know, a little bit out there, a little bit crazy, you know, maybe just a little bit changed, you know, for the match. But Bray Wyatt's going to do all the work, and we know it, so.
Hopefully in the end, Bray Wyatt will look a bigger star than he was going into it. What about this whole thing going with Daniel Bryan and Triple H?
I just didn't really want to see Daniel Bryan standing up top tonight.
Really?
That's just a very big indicator that Daniel Bryan will probably lose in the title match. He might beat Triple H, but it's one of those WWE things where if you're standing on top, the Raw before the pay-per-view, you're usually not winning the title.
You know what? This actually crossed my mind when I was watching.
I know it's crazy. Let's hope they don't screw over the fans. Let's hope they give us the moment we want. But they gave us the moment we wanted in WrestleMania 20. You know, they gave us Benoit and Guerrero standing up top with the titles at the end of Mania. So we'll see.
Yeah,
I'm ready.
What about the Hall of Fame class this year, Brian? Are you going to be watching the show on the WWE Network, or are you one of those people who just don't really care about the Hall of Fame?
My biggest problem is where you're going, and other than that, I'm excited for Razor Ramon and Jake Snake Roberts and Lita, and even Carlos Colon. It's my biggest problem is watching that train wreck that does not deserve it. I know he was a big part of that era. I still don't care. The man could not wrestle. He was jacked up on runs. I know a lot of them were, but he did not treat his fans right, and the fans freaking forget how he treated us during those days. Even when he was the Dingo Warrior before he became Ultimate Warrior, he was a butthole, and I just never could get into his matches. But, I mean, of course, he'll be a train wreck, so that might be enough to watch it.
All right, Brian, how are you going to be watching WrestleMania this weekend?
On the network.
On the network? Extreme.
Yes.
And the comfort of home.
Yes. Thank you. $9.99 a month, let me tell you. I'm excited, though. 2016 Dallas, Texas. That should be... Finally, I get to go back to WrestleMania. I've been to two. That would be my third. So I'm definitely excited for 2016 because it's in my backyard.
Well, I got to say, everything that I've heard so far about the possibility about this being in Dallas, being the biggest WrestleMania of all time, I might be considering taking a trip down to Texas, too. And who knows, maybe we'll have a Mega Powers radio party. But in the meantime, for now, Brian, as we always like to wrap up here, your high point, low point for tonight's Raw.
High point.
Oh.
Probably, I would say... Cena behind Bray Wyatt and the Wyatt family. That was pretty cool. Low point, two Divas matches on a Raw card, really?
Touche. All right, Brian, you enjoy this weekend. Super exciting time to be a wrestling fan, as always, and we'll talk to you on the flip side after the Raw, after Mania.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
All right, take care, bro. And everyone listening, as always, the phone lines remaining open for the remainder of the show. We got 1 hour and 5 on the clock. We'll see if we fill it. Area code 760-512-7247 to get yourself in line. We also got the Skype lines open. Hit the icon at the top of the page. And, of course, the chat room is running nicely. I just read some of the things going on here in the chat. Funny stuff. Steven Huego, hashtag butthole. I'm trying to read one here. Oh, Creepa's on the radar saying Natalia has a show. That's enough for her as far as they're concerned. They're talking about the Divas division and how piss poor it is going into this WrestleMania. Let's talk about the next thing we had on the show tonight. We had a match between Big E and Alberto Del Rio. I still wanted to say Big E Langston. During this match, Big E had a wicked wardrobe malfunction. I don't know if anyone caught it, but his strap got caught off to the side and just completely did it was going towards his tit and then just turned right and went right around it and then was like, fuck it.
I need to go back and watch that since I skipped that match. I don't like the description for it.
You know what? I don't want to talk about Big E's wardrobe. Every time we've done that, it's gone down a bad road.
True that. Del Rio wins with an armbar submission. I don't know why they're trying to make this guy look like he's going to be a big contender going into the Battle Royal of all things. But yeah, there you go. Anybody have anything they want to throw in about this match?
Princess Intercontinental Championship by losing against a guy that's not even a contender.
Never mind. I was going to say that's not even American, but we're not talking about the U.S. belt. Sorry.
Well, neither of them are American. But the Intercontinental title is not even being defended at WrestleMania. What the crap?
Who did Big E piss off?
Michael Hayes.
Maybe. Probably. Yeah, that's about right.
We had a short Wyatt family promo. I actually forget what was even said in this now. I remember being captivated by it for a moment. Miguel, you know what he was saying?
No, I was going to say it doesn't matter at this point. It doesn't matter what he's saying. Just the fact that Bray Wyatt is talking.
It sucks you in.
Yeah,
he just kind of sung. He's got the whole world in his hand and that was about it.
Didn't he actually do that at one point?
Yeah, he did. Yeah. Towards the end.
Yeah.
He's going to start singing outros.
You probably could get away singing anything, and you just kind of wouldn't even soak it in.
He'll start singing a Drew White outro. The fans will just be, like, glued to the TV.
John Cena.
Oh, yeah, man.
So let's match up to the chat room here. Let's talk about our first Divas match we had this evening. Summer Rae coming out to face Natalya. Summer Rae giving more of a personality of her own. She got her own theme music debut tonight, and I got to say it was terrible. It was one of the most generic bubblegum pop female music songs they've had since freaking Layla's I'm Insatiable. Hate that crap. And even worse so, Summer Rae wins by sneaking in a pin. I think it was a roll-up, wasn't it? I don't know. I tuned out. It's a Divas match. Anything you guys got to throw in?
It was a step up from regular Divas matches just because I know Summer Rae and Natalya can work. That's not saying much, to be quite honest with you. I'm not surprised that Natalya took the fall. She's kind of... She's one of those whipping girl wrestlers in WWE where if you need somebody else to take a pinfall, you put her in that spot.
I don't think that her theme is that bad. It just doesn't fit her. If they use that for somebody else, maybe... No, they can't use it for Emma because she needs something even more ridiculous.
What's wrong with Fandango's theme?
I mean, that's fine.
Yeah, that works fine.
It's Fandango's theme, though.
If they're going to use the Funkadactyls theme for, like, seven people, then why can't they use Fandango's for two?
I was thinking that maybe it would be better if they gave that to somebody like a Bailey or whatever. Or what's the name of that one woman who's supposed to be in with Summer Rae, Sasha something?
Sasha Banks.
Sasha Banks.
Maybe even her, it would be better. Mm. But it doesn't seem to fit Summer Rae. And if she's doing the dancing gimmick with Fandango and she can't dance to this song, then she just comes out and looks a little bit awkward. She did that little kissy thing, but they all do like little kissy faces and stuff. So that's not anything different. And
Maria did it.
Right.
Seen it.
Yeah, she has that little thing where she goes up on the top rope and sits there and whatever and flips her hair like Maurice a little bit, but that's not good enough for an entrance. And it'd be fine with somebody else. I might even like the song if I hear it again on its own, but it's not Summer Rae.
Yeah. So let's move on to what was one of my favorite segments we had tonight. Triple H and Stephanie McMahon coming out to address the crowd. They made just some absolutely fantastic points. At one point, Stephanie starts getting the crowd to chant yes, and she's like, "You were right, Hunter. Even I could get them to chant yes," making everyone in the crowd feel like total assholes. They aired this absolutely amazing promo video that was pretty much lots of people have built themselves up as stars, but they were nothing compared to Triple H.
This was a total fuck you to the internet, because these are like all the guys that they talk about Triple H burying, and he just fucking
everyone, Jeff Hardy, Kurt Angle, every single person
Booker
you could
T,
think,
Rob Van Booker Dam. T,
Chris Jericho, all of
them. Beautiful.
Absolutely beautiful. At one point, Triple H also even calls about how people are fair weather and move on so quickly, bringing up the Fandango dance. And he's right, man. You know, this time last year, people were going crazy for that and how quickly they turned their back on Fandango. And to Triple H's credit, before he was done, he said Fandango was a true talent and they just turned their back on him.
Yeah, he said B plus or maybe even an A.
Mm-hmm.
I'm surprised he didn't throw Zack Ryder under the bus just for good measure.
Yeah, I actually was surprised he didn't bring that up either, but it just shows Zack isn't even good enough for a promo to...
He's not even good enough to be buried.
I'm surprised they didn't just add other people in there that aren't relevant at all. Like he just starts going through other people that he might have had like one match with. They doctor the footage of the Ultimate Warrior match that he has, and they like flip it upside down. They do a 180, and it's like, oh, look, see, it was actually Triple H pinning him. And like,
eventually, Batista comes out to interrupt, and I noticed that he was wearing much better-fitting jeans tonight. A little bit of extra thigh room in those jeans
tonight. Yeah, I wonder if he was paranoid about something.
I wonder if he actually like, got sent to freaking like JCPenney to buy normal Levi's or something. Eventually, Randy Orton comes out as well. I kind of tuned out at this point when they were both out there just bitching. I don't know if this was where they announced that they were having a no-DQ match between those two or not, but... We'll talk more about that later, but what the hell were they thinking? Having your potential WrestleMania made an original WrestleMania event. Just giving it away for free on TV.
They're just making it up as they go along. They don't have plans, so they're just kind of like, we did Bryan versus Orton. We did Orton versus Bryan versus Batista. Let's do Orton Batista now.
Yeah. So let's go around and get your guys' thoughts about this whole Triple H Stephanie segment. Wago?
I thought it was absolutely awesome, and I loved every moment of it. I forgot how much I enjoyed the game Heel Triple H. It's so much more fun than the authority role he's been playing. And I'm looking – this is the one thing that's actually got me interested in WrestleMania, and that's just seeing how it all plays out. And part of me thinks we're going to get a fatal four-way from all this for the main event with Triple H being so power-hungry. Mm-hmm. But great segment. Stephanie and Triple H play off each other so well and just – an A plus promo.
Nice placement there. Miguel?
I had a bowel movement halfway through this whole promo. So it tends to happen when Triple H and Stephanie open their mouths. Honestly, like I said, the first half of it was just... Triple H promos like this make me cringe, and it's just because it's like one step above a heel promo. Like, it hurts, kind of. The way he just takes too many in-joke shots that it's just it doesn't seem like just your average heel promo, and it just makes me feel kind of uncomfortable as a fan, honestly. But yeah, like I said, I missed the second half with the video, although I really should go back and watch it. Once I came back, Orton and Tripp and Batista were in the ring, and it was just white noise at that point.
It took a steep downfall after that, but that video, totally worth seeking out. Even if you've not watched anything from Raw, go and find that video. I think it's my favorite video they produced building into WrestleMania. Close second with that Cena Wyatt one with the Eminem song. But holy crap, man. Just the outright gall of it to be like, Triple H, the best of all time, buried everybody. Just so honest and amazing. Tony?
First off, I like what you did right there. You said your reaction to this was holy crap. Apparently Miguel had the same reaction. I can't tell which thing is the motivator behind this. Is it a brilliant segment where they took something that's somewhat realistic and they built something around it? Or was this just an instance where they saw an opportunity that they can have Triple H express his real opinions and get away with it? That's what's kind of confusing for me. Were they in the right mindset where they were like, oh man, everybody already thinks this about Triple H, and we can, you know, build this whole promo about him burying other people, and that'll really make people get behind Daniel Bryan? Or was he like, look, this is the best time I can ever get this kind of a promo out on TV and not have people really get super pissed off at me. Let me just bury the crap out of this guy. Like, he's had him backstage go, who do you hate? And he's like, oh, fucking RVD. I hate Jericho.
It's pretty much all of them were people that are, like, not there currently. The only one that's still in the family is Mick Foley, and he's not going to give a shit.
Right, and there's been so many reports and backstage things that we've heard, and, you know, the typical scuttlebutt of Triple H not really liking both Jericho and Foley. And when they were included into this, I was just like, oh, I wonder if those are, like, personal shots that he really just wanted to get out there.
Just to kind of be like,
you know what? Chris Jericho, like, ha, we could do it again because you're not here, and fuck you, buddy. Like, I could see them doing that, but I'm hoping that it's just a case of WWE Creative was like, this is a great opportunity, let's do this, and it'll be a brilliant way to really put that character into the full perspective. So the people that aren't on the internet all the time, and they're not, you know, the typical quote-unquote smarks, they get the point now. Hopefully that's the case.
I got a quick question since I didn't see the video. Was Edge in that video?
Nope.
I don't think so.
Huh, I'm surprised.
I like Edge.
Yeah, but he's always taken shots at Edge before in the past. I'm surprised he wasn't included in that package.
Was there ever an Edge Triple H feud?
Once. I think SmackDown. Yeah, I think this would have been right when Edge was when Triple H was moved over to SmackDown a couple years back.
Yeah, it was during the period where he was feuding with fucking Kozlov and had that little spat with Jeff Hardy.
Okay. Well, if anyone out there wants to contribute their opinion about this awesome Triple H video package and segment or anything else that went down on Raw or the build to WrestleMania, dial in area code 760-512-7247. Skype line is also open by hitting the Skype icon at the top of the page, and the chat room is rolling as always. Grapple This Productions, Creepers onto Radars, and whoever else is in there keeping things going awesomely. Appreciate everyone tuning in and contributing. Let's keep the ball rolling. Next thing we had here was a 8-man tag match. One side was the Usos and Los Matadores against Axelback and the Real Americans. Essentially, it was the white people versus the brown people.
That's racist.
Surprisingly, this was a really good match. It had a little bit of a slow start, but once it picked up, man, all the things that were going on there, that the Matadors really impressed me. Even Ryback was doing some cool things in there, the way he was interacting and catching people in certain moves. The dynamic of all these teams really got me a little bit more optimistic for this match going into WrestleMania. I was like, man, of all the teams you're going to put these guys, I think the chemistry is going to work, and I think we're going to see a cool match come WrestleMania now. Wago?
Yeah, the match was pretty good. I'm still kind of down on the whole tag team scene. I still think it should have been the Usos getting their moment at Mania. So I'm always going to be a bit sour on the tag division come Mania.
Miguel?
It was an okay matchup. I have two issues with it. First one, obviously, and I think I don't remember who brought it up, but having these guys actually compete against each other on Raw you know, less than a week before these guys are going to end up competing against each other for the pay-per-view, I think kind of takes a little bit of luster out of the whole package. Mm-hmm. But we've seen these guys wrestle against each other in so many different combinations. It's starting to get a little bit, I don't want to say it's starting to devalue their work, but I'm starting to get a little bit complacent with just seeing the same handful of tag teams wrestle against each other. Like, I mean, they have great work together, but how long can you keep doing the same kind of match over and over to where it starts to get just a little bit, you know, it seems like you've seen it all before. And I'm starting to get that a little bit with a lot of these tag teams, especially through this matchup. It was enjoyable, but it was nothing special for me.
Tony?
This was an awesome match of the night by far, and it's going to turn out to be a really, really entertaining pre-show match that nobody's going to care about.
Oh.
You don't think the Battle Royal is going to get the pre-show?
No way.
Battle Royal's got way loud at the Battle Royal. They've got Hogan promoting it. They've got Piper promoting it.
They're saying it's going to be an annual thing. Like that's going to be serious. That's going to take the place of the Money in the Bank for WrestleMania. What is going to be on the pre-show? I don't think we've had our pre-show match announced. Maybe they'll make up like a fucking Intercontinental match for Big E or something.
Miz will get slotted in there probably.
I think if you don't have some kind of match with Big E, then this is just going to end up being it. And they're not going to announce a pre-show match. They're just going to say, like, we've got this two-hour pre-show, and we're going to include lots of stuff that you got to watch. Maybe they'll include an NXT match. But if any of these matches they've announced so far are going to be on there, it's got to be the tag title match because it's got virtually nothing going for it.
But the card is so small as it is. There's no reason to bump any of these things into the pre-show.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you think about it, even though the card is kind of small, there are two matches that are really only being promoted as one, and that's the Triple H one. It kind of feels like it's only one match that they're building towards, but that's going to be two huge segments. That's an hour right there if you give them 20 minutes apiece, and then you have the promos in between and everything.
And WrestleMania is 4 hours.
Yeah. Well, how long is the Battle Royal going to go on?
Probably not that long. 20, 25 minutes most.
Hopefully not, 2 hours or anything.
Depends how many individual entrances they put into it.
I think they're just going to do the everybody gets announced at the same time kind of thing.
Oh, God, I hope Kid Rock doesn't play into the ring.
I think at best they'll do that thing where, like, everyone gets 10 seconds of their theme played as they're walking out.
Seriously, though, can Kid Rock just fuck off?
It's just unrelated. Just doesn't even matter if he's doing anything with WrestleMania, period.
Yeah, just fuck off and go and die in obscurity.
I think it's because he's the cheapest licensing deal that they can get for a pay-per-view now with the music.
Goodness. Well, from that match, we went on to a tag match that was not as enjoyable. Fandango and Damian Sandow teaming up against the Brotherhood. Crowd was super hot during that last tag match, but this killed it. The crowd was sitting on their hands pretty much all the way through it. Goldust was actually doing some really cool things, some jumps off the top rope, and the crowd no-sold it. They could not have cared less. Finally, Cody was able to wake them up a little bit, but it was too much. It was not enough. What am I trying to say here? Day late, dollar short, essentially. Goldust hits that spinning suplex finisher for the pin. Brotherhood wins. No significance whatsoever. I guess it's maybe supposed to make us think that they have a shot going into the Battle Royal. I don't feel that way. Anything you guys want to add to that?
Nothing.
So who does?
Fandango was like, oh, I'm a B+, A+, huh? All right, I'm going to show you by having a shitty match.
True that. speaking of the truth, R-Truth fought Bray Wyatt in our next match. Bray Wyatt wins with the Sister Abigail. Worthless match, but after the match, we see the Wyatt family posing, and all of a sudden, we see another sheep-masked character come in from the shadows. And who could it be? But John Cena, after he takes the mask off, takes out the Wyatt family. Really cool visual when Cena snuck up with the sheep mask on. Aside from that, though, this was meh. Man, it's kind of sad that the thing that's excited me most for this match has been the video package with Eminem music in it. But anyway, you guys got anything you want to throw in on that?
I love this whole segment. I thought the really? Whole Cena coming out of the darkness and just kind of popping up ominously was actually really good, was actually really well done. honestly, I think out of all the buildup that we've had for all these other matches for WrestleMania, this has probably been the most consistently good. I've loved all the promos that Bray Wyatt's done. I think this bit, last week's bit with Cena getting the sheep mask on him, this week's bit, the promo that Cena would cut later in the night, I think was a step up from what he normally cuts. Honestly, this whole matchup, I'm not saying it sold me on the pay-per-view, but it's one of the few big name matches aside from, you know, whatever happens to Bray Wyatt that I'm actually looking forward to the most.
Huh. Yeah, I can't deny that the build's not being good for this match. Some weeks are more on than others, but the more I see Bray Wyatt in the ring, the less I'm looking forward to this match. His offense is boring to me, and Cena's selling's even worse, so they might surprise me, but I've got no hopes that this is going to be a good match come Mania.
I want to see this continue, honestly. That's one of the reasons why I'm hoping Bray Wyatt wins the matchup, is because I think there's more legs to this. I love the dynamic between Bray and Cena. You know, it's been a while since we've seen a heel character that can take it to Cena as much as Bray has. Like, that feels on the same level in terms of how evil he feels as Cena is to good, you know? It's been a while since Cena has had a Lex Luthor to his Superman, and I honestly think this could go... I'd love to see this go all the way to SummerSlam, honestly. If you're going to give Cena the big win against Bray, give it to them there and just let Bray have this matchup now.
I'm fine with them taking it to SummerSlam. The biggest issue with that is you can't have him wrestle too often. It'd have to be like every other month.
No, that's why you got the other guys there. You can figure out some way to kind of extend that out. You know, you got six-man matches, handicap matches, tag matches. There's all kinds of possibilities.
Yeah.
Tony?
I think Cena missed an opportunity here. Instead of him being in the sheep mask, he should have had some help to try to fight off the Wyatt family. He should have called in Juan Cena.
Should have turned up in a time cow mask.
That would have helped. Cool visual, I like that. That was actually a better thing that I was expecting them to do. I figured they would just have John Cena come out, cut a generic promo, Wyatt comes out, cut a generic promo, they attack him. And doing the opposite, essentially, that was cool. That's not really making me think anything different one way or another about the match at WrestleMania. That's up to them to actually pull it off. And it could go one way, it could go the other way. We get into having a match that really becomes one of the best matches of the night, or it could be a total stinker. I don't think it's going to be, you know, just okay. It's either going to be horrible or holy crap, that was good. And any promo that they're going to do ahead of time, whether it's the Eminem one, that's pretty cool, and I downloaded that song because of that, or something that would have been bad, no influence whatsoever on the quality of the match. It's all going to happen in the ring.
Let's move on here. We had announced that this Saturday's Hall of Fame event is not just going to be the ceremony itself, but they're going to be having this whole red carpet affair going into it before. just the thought of having like R-Truth show up in a suit on there, or a tuxedo, or what were they going to, the Wyatt family show up there too. I don't know. I'm semi-interested to actually see how this is going to play out, more so for the comedic failure that it could be.
You think R-Truth is going to pop up in that straitjacket instead?
I don't know. Do you think Luke Harper will show up in like a really stained and dirty tux?
It'll look like a yellow tux, and it'll turn out that it was actually supposed to be a white one.
It'll be a tuxedo t-shirt.
We had a second Divas matchup. This time it was a Lumberjill match pitting current Divas champion AJ Lee against Naoma. typical Lumberjack, you know, theory you're going with this matchup. Whenever the heel goes out there, they get beat up on. But whenever the babyface gets sent out, the Lumberjacks are just like, oh, what? No, nothing's going on here. Yeah, just let them get in. Naomi ends up winning with the rear view. Match was just a total clusterfuck, just as the match at WrestleMania is going to be. I do not have high hopes of this at all. And the only thing that comes to mind is that that Kayfabe News article that talked about how there's hundreds of thousands of restroom attendants preparing for the Divas match rush at WrestleMania. that's pretty much what I'm thinking is going to be happening. Anything you guys want to add to that, though?
Give the Divas more time, they said. They'll improve, they said. Fucking give me a break.
Listen. Anything that lets Naomi work in the ring is fine by me. Let's just put it this way. It was very apropos that she had a pirate eye patch on.
Dude, they should, like, sell...
I think Miguel was setting up something here. Why is it appropriate Naomi has the eye patch on?
Because she's harboring all the booty in the Divas division.
Good.
One thing I do want to say, and something we need to bring up, is the fact that they took this opportunity to announce that the Divas matchup for WrestleMania is going to be one fall, which means it's going to probably have all the Divas in the ring at once. Which
no, they said that. That's exactly what it's going to be.
I cringed when I heard that. I'm like, great. So it's going to be a disaster, and it's going to last 5 minutes.
Now, here's a question. Do you think the Divas will actually get individual entrances, or will they get the Kid Rock treatment again?
No, they'll get their individual individual entrances. It's going to be 15 minutes of entrances and 5 minutes of action.
WWE is like, huh, Wago hates Kid Rock, huh? You know what? Let's have him perform twice at WrestleMania.
You know what's really going to suck? If they give everybody an entrance for the Battle Royal and for this, and we've got, you know, the typical 10-minute entrance for The Undertaker, we've got Triple H's entrance twice, which is going to take long, and Randy Orton is going to have to come out there and walk very slowly to the ring. My God, is this going to be a 7-hour WrestleMania because 6.5 hours is just entrances?
I'm okay with that. That's what WWE does best. They have the best entrances in the business.
Oh, the Wyatt family. Sure.
Well, no. It's going to be all right because they're going to bump the tag match to the pre-show.
Oh.
Can they bring like those moving platforms back but just have them move really fucking fast to the ring?
And just speed up everybody's theme song so it's all in fast forward.
Pull a couple things out of the chat room here. Vix says, I just got home from work and I'd rather listen to this than fast forward through the Raw that I DVR'd. Thanks, man.
Trust me, you ain't missing much on Raw.
I was going to say, they could have Ryback drive the moving platforms like he did that truck for Paul Heyman.
Yeah, he could drive a food truck.
Oh, no. Was it him that drove that forklift during the Cell matchup?
No, it wasn't. It was some guy, and the commentators were pissing all over them because they were so shit.
Grapple This Productions for the panel. The Divas match is going to be a giant clusterfuck of why do this. You know what the Divas match needs? Time cow.
Fucking A.
Our WWE.com or WWE app poll that we had for this evening was... Who of the Shield do you want to face Kane in a one-on-one matchup tonight? Not surprisingly, Roman Reigns wins with an overwhelming 80% victory in that poll. They actually have a pretty fun little matchup here. Kane luckily dropped the wife beater. He's back to just being in the suit pants. I think I could take him a lot more seriously that way when he's not wearing the wife beater. Maybe that's just me. Eventually in this match, the New Age Outlaws comes down the ramp, but Ambrose and Rollins save the day, attacking the New Age Outlaws from behind. All three members of the Shield end up circling Kane inside the ring, beating him down, eventually going to do the triple power bomb, but the New Age Outlaws pull Kane out and run away before they're able to do so. Perfect, I think. You know, teases a little bit of what you want to see going into the WrestleMania match and forces you to want to see more. Well done, I would say. Tony?
You know what? I missed the majority of this match. And what I did see, I wasn't really that interested in. When I got into it, it was just about the end of it. And it seemed like the crowd didn't really get into it either. So I don't know if that was because it just wasn't really that great or it was good up until that point or what. But I'm not
interested. I think people liked Kane's heat.
I think there was an awe of Roman Reigns' pecs.
I'm not too much into this Kane feud. I think that the Shield deserved a whole lot better. And as much as I like Kane and the New Age Outlaws and the Shield, just pairing these people up, it just seems really just meh. Like I said earlier, it feels like a SummerSlam match as opposed to a WrestleMania. The Shield should have been facing each other or maybe having something more build up when it comes to the Authority. Maybe they should have included other people into the Authority over the past couple months and really made them seem like they mattered. But the New Age Outlaws were just feuding with the Usos. And as much as the Usos are cool, they're not on the par with the Shield. Mm. So it sort of seems like they're taking a step down.
Grapple This Productions in the chat room says it doesn't translate well due to a rush to the storyline between Kane and the Shield. And that actually makes me think of something else. Is it a possibility that this is because of the rush to the face turn of the Shield?
I think this is because Kane was originally slated to go up against Daniel Bryan, but that whole thing got axed. So they were like, well, we need to slot Kane in for something. Let's put the Shield in there.
So what you're saying is CM Punk really fucked up the WrestleMania plans.
Yeah, pretty much.
What a dick.
In terms of what I think, I'm torn between this because this tonight really showed me that a guy like Roman Reigns is so ready to go out on his own and be over with the fans. But at the same time, the Shield as a whole are doing so well as a face group. I want to see Roman Reigns break off and do his own thing, but at the same time, I think this whole face Shield turn has legs to take him all the way to, if not SummerSlam, maybe even into next year.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, like I said, I think now's the time. You know, you can go from here and have Roman Reigns build up to something, but do you tear apart the Shield in the process? Which route do you take? Do you take what's probably the safe bet, or do you take that risk?
I don't know. Wiggle?
I don't think you needed to do this match at all. I would have preferred a triple threat match between the Shield. The match is so rushed and put together so awkwardly that there's nothing really getting me into this feud. The Shield's face turn was out of fucking nowhere. And that's pretty much the whole reason why this feud just so meh. The New Age Outlaws' involvement seems so weird after feuding with the Usos. If my ideal plan for the Shield would have been to just have a triple threat match for the US title at Mania, and you don't even have to split them up as much as you could have had them settle their differences and then continued. So, yeah, overall, I'm just not into this match. As far as tonight's match goes, it was very subpar too.
Indeed. Grapple This Productions again for the panel. The Shield and Wyatts are so over with the fans that it doesn't matter whether they are face or heel a la Stone Cold, they have that staying power. Would you guys agree?
True that.
Wait, I missed that last part. What was that?
He's pretty much saying that the Shield and the Wyatts are so over that it doesn't matter if they're face or heel. They're just like Stone Cold. They have that kind of staying power. Something I actually noticed with the Wyatts, they've been doing this a lot. They've been doing personalized entrances when they're going to blow the lantern out. They actually call out the town they're in, say, Washington, D.C. We're here. Of course, getting a huge pop from the crowd. That's a babyface thing to do.
You mean that lantern that magically turns into an LED lamp as soon as they come out?
Damn it, Miguel. Are you the guy who like goes to movies and points out strings, too?
That annoys me. It's like, what, you couldn't just bring the fire lamp with you? You had to basically go cheap?
It wouldn't be bright enough.
I really hope that they never try to figure out what town they're in by asking R-Truth.
Dude, that'd be a good way to get heat, though.
It's a fire hazard to scrapple this.
Seems legit.
We only have a certain amount of fire that we can keep around the ring, and we have Undertaker and Kane out there, so here's the lantern.
They won't let him have baby oil. You think they're gonna let him have fire?
Oh man, we only got a couple segments to talk about left here. If you want to get on the show and talk about your opinions about tonight's Raw or the build to WrestleMania, this is the last stop until WrestleMania and the last Raw post show before we head to WrestleMania. Dial in area code 760-512-7247. We also have the Skype line open and the chat room bumping as always. Moving on into our main event segment we had this evening, Randy Orton versus Batista, two members of the main event matchup at WrestleMania. In a no disqualification matchup. My theories about booking aside, I think these guys had a fun little bit here. The attacking they did on each other with all the weapons, specifically the kendo stick, was brutal. It's a shame we all did not get to see an end to this match, only because I was enjoying what I was watching. But of course, that means we have to watch WrestleMania to see the end of it now. This match ends when Daniel Bryan attacks Triple H, who was on commentary, by the way. I didn't mention that. Triple H and Stephanie McMahon out on commentary. Daniel Bryan runs through the crowd, attacks Triple H. The two of them brawl all throughout the side of the ring, eventually going into the ring, blowing up the match. Daniel Bryan takes out Batista. He takes out Randy Orton. Daniel Bryan, an absolute ball of fire, sending Triple H running, standing on the top of the rope, leading the crowd in a massive yes chant, ending Raw, the final Raw before WrestleMania, the way that I honestly think it should have, with Daniel Bryan leading the crowd into a yes chant, keeping the yes movement strong going into WrestleMania 30. Go around and get your guys' thoughts on that, though. Miguel?
You know what? I was turned off at first because of the jack-off commentary between Stephanie and Triple H. I basically had to mute the TV just so I can enjoy the matchup, and it greatly improved it. I thought that for what it was fine. I knew it wasn't going to go far because they started the matchup, what, 10:59? So I was like, all right, this is just going to be a couple minutes. They're going to have some type of schmoz finish, and then the show's going to go off. I'm glad that they went the route of having Daniel Bryan run in, because that's how you needed to end it like that. You know, weeks and weeks of him being dominated by the Authority needed to end with him basically standing tall going into the pay-per-view. I'm glad they did it. You know what? It was a solid finish. I just wonder if they're going to ruin it going into SmackDown, what they're going to do for that show. But as is, if this is technically the final match, final segment before the pay-per-view, you know, it was pretty solid. It was classic WWE in a good way.
Luego?
I thought the ending segment was awesome. As far as the Batista versus Randy Orton match, watching them two go at it just made me so happy, but it isn't the main event for Mania. Don't get me wrong, it wasn't bad, but it was a Raw match, and that's all there was ever going to be. The no disqualification stipulation helped this be more watchable, too. Aside from that, it was dumb to give it away on free TV. The Daniel Bryan's interference and him just cleaning house and having all those yes chants, it doesn't matter how many times he does it. It's such an awesome sight when it goes off air like that, and I really enjoyed it. Stephanie's commentating, though, throughout this whole match was so weird to me. It was like she'd never seen pro wrestling before.
And did anyone else catch that candy necklace she was wearing?
No, I missed that.
What was up with that?
Go hungry.
It was kind of like when Randy Orton had that tie on his finger. We couldn't figure out what the fuck it was. Now Stephanie's got a candy necklace on.
I'm guessing one of her girls gave it to her before she went out.
I think they're backstage and they're like, hey, what are you going to do to fuck with the fans tonight? And you want to tie a piece of string to your finger? Yeah, that seems a good idea.
Tony, your thoughts about the main event tonight?
The match is something that nobody's going to really pay that much attention to. It just was there to eat up some time and to showcase Batista and Orton together, because we haven't really seen too much physicality between the two of them. I don't know if I would say that this is the best way that they could have ended this. This didn't really seem like it was worthy for the WrestleMania build, like we had been mentioned a couple different times before. I didn't get that feeling that this was the last Raw before the biggest pay-per-view of all time, or even the biggest pay-per-view of the year. I thought that before the Royal Rumble even felt more important. So they kind of dropped the ball when it comes to that. But the booking of the segment, it makes sense. And for anybody who's worried that the way that it ended with Daniel Bryan being on top at the end and the typical switcheroo that they have, I think what's going to come into play here is we're going to see that draw happen, and that main event's going to be all four men. And that's why they're doing this. They're giving you the little bit of a tease that it's all going to work out. And then you're going to think it's going to work out with Daniel Bryan beating Triple H, and it's not going to necessarily happen. So everybody's going to panic at WrestleMania, not now. And that's what the booking of this is all about. But one thing I wanted to bring up, did anybody else notice that there was a section of the commentary where they seemed like they had to bleep it out?
No. What happened there?
Maybe it was my Comcast feed or something, but it sounded to me like Stephanie said something and they cut her out, like what they usually do when somebody curses. And then afterwards she said something like, oh, sorry, I said that, or whatever.
Really?
I could have been hearing things wrong, so I don't know. I don't know if anybody in the chat heard that as well.
Watch your foot.
Maybe it was something like watch your foot. Or maybe she was like responding back to Vince in the headset or whatever it was. But if that did happen and it wasn't just me mishearing things or something weird going on with Comcast, then I want to know what the hell she said.
Oh, maybe someone in the chat room can clear that for us, or perhaps in the archive versions, someone will go back and listen to it and tell us, because I'm not going back and watching it. All right. Well, with that, we have reached the end of the Raw show, and we're going to head to our final segment that we have here on the Raw post show.
Hold on. Did we talk about the...
Go ahead.
I was going to say, did we talk about the Piper's Pit segment?
Oh, we didn't.
Can we not?
Yeah, I didn't even write that down. I must have just completely forgot to put that down in my notes as I was watching the show.
I actually love that segment, honestly.
All right, yeah, let's run it down. We got a tease that we were going to have the Piper's Pit segment tonight. Didn't say who the guest was, and once I did that, I was like, oh, this is probably not going to be very good. So Piper comes out saying that he's going to introduce the person he thinks is the most likely winner of the Andre the Giant 30-Man Battle Royal, but it's not the person he thinks it is. He gets interrupted by The Miz, who gets interrupted by Sheamus, who gets interrupted by Titus O'Neil, who gets interrupted by Dolph Ziggler. And I forget where it goes to from there. Eventually, everyone just runs out and they all start fighting. And it was just I hate these kind of segments where just one person comes out after another saying, well, I'm going to win. Oh, yeah, well, I'm going to win. Oh, yeah, well, I'm going to win. I'm not into it. But Miguel, you want to defend this one?
I liked it. It was fun. You know, Roddy Piper segments have a sense of humor to them that I think a lot of segments don't have, and I think this one definitely had a good sense of humor to it. I like the interplay between him and The Miz, then it was Sheamus coming out, then Titus O'Neil for some reason, and it just kept going and going. And no, I liked it. It was fun, you know. It was a bit of a disaster towards the end of it, but you knew it was going to go there, you know. But for what it was when it started, it actually was really a fun bit, a fun segment, you know. You can argue if it was necessary, but I enjoyed myself for what it was.
Tony?
Poor Justin Gabriel. He didn't get to be interviewed by Piper.
Nope. Okay, way to go.
I didn't give a fuck about this segment. Jesus Christ, Roddy Piper needs to stay away. He's gotten shitter and shitter.
He really has fallen off, man. When I go back and I watch some of that stuff of him from the 80s, it's just hard to believe it's the same guy.
Yeah, just... Piper, just go home with Kid Rock and just fuck off.
I defend Roddy Piper. I do wonder if it's WWE kind of holding him back in terms of his segments, because the guy's got a great sense of humor to him. He's got more energy in his promo than any of the younger guys do, you know, aside from your CM Punks or Bray Wyatts. But, you know, I enjoyed it, you know.
Well, he's had a stroke, hasn't he? I mean, you know, shit's going to happen after that. Anyway, as I said, we were going to head into our final bit here where we run down what we thought was the best, the worst, and the ugliest parts of Raw. The good, the bad, and the ugly. As I said, we are going to go around to each member of this panel and ask them which part of Raw they thought was the best, the worst, and the ugliest, meaning the part that was the most embarrassing and probably would make you feel like you shouldn't be a wrestling fan if someone else was in the room with you while you're watching. So first, let's take it over to Tony.
Good. The 8-man tag match. That was definitely the match of the night and very entertaining all the way through. Surprisingly about it, because a lot of these people aren't really the best people that you could see week to week, but they did a good job. The bad, Piper's Pit. I didn't like that segment at all. I thought it was very awkward between Piper doing the really and over doing that and Titus coming out and just barking for the hell of it. Real shame. I would have rather seen the Maniac do it instead of Piper. And the ugly, even though it wasn't a part of this episode, what the hell, we haven't said it in a while, Miz's dad.
Oh, Miguel.
I'm gonna say the good was the Bray Wyatt segments. Specifically the one that Cena popped out in the post R-Truth matchup. I really liked it, and it really sold me on that whole matchup and the whole dynamic. Bad, I'd probably say the first half of the Stephanie McMahon Triple H bit, just because it gave me diarrhea. And ugly, nothing ugly, but I'm going to say this. I've been watching a lot of Raw lately, and I've been noticing promos for that awful reality series that comes on after Monday Night Raw.
Chrisley Knows Best?
Oh, what is that?
We've been over this on the show before. Yeah, that looks absolutely terrible. Well, I already been there and got the t-shirt, girl.
You know what? It can't be any fucking worse than Total Divas.
I feel like that was a show that even E! Network dropped. And when E! Drops a show, you know that it's quality.
Class, not ass.
Class, not ass. I'm all that in a bag of chips and every weekend or whatever the fuck he says. God damn it.
You watch. He's going to be hosting an episode of Monday Night Raw soon.
Oh, he absolutely will be.
I don't mind it.
I think he'll get that like Perez Hilton reaction. And if he could carry it, good for him.
I hope they go somewhere really smoky when he comes out.
Do it in Chicago.
Yeah. Like,
have him come out to Cult of Personality. He's like, oh, it's my favorite song, you guys.
That would be beautiful.
Oh, Waco, you're good, bad, and ugly.
For my good, definitely the Triple H segment. I thought it was just really well done. And there's not much more I can say than what I mentioned earlier. As far as the bad segment goes, definitely the Piper's Pit segment. He's just, either he's phoning it in now or he just sucks. I've got no time for Roddy on my TV anymore. And for the ugly, the Lumberfuck match. And that is going to be one big clusterfuck come WrestleMania.
I need to see that, a Lumberfuck match.
Dude, it'd be a lot more interesting than the shit that we're going to get at Mania.
All right, well, for me, the good is going to be the Triple H, specifically video package part of his segment. The whole thing, like I said, where they're making up like, oh, Kurt Angle was a great star because of his wrestling ability, and Chris Jericho got off because of his ability to talk. Well, it was all nothing compared to Triple H because he's the man. Like, it's just amazing. The bad, I am going to say, was the tag match of Fandango and Damian Sandow against the Brotherhood. I don't know if it was just the fact that they followed up such an excellent match of that 8-man tag or what it was, but this just killed the crowd and they were not digging it. Felt bad for all those guys, and it was definitely the lowest point of the show for me as far as me being able to take anything out of it at all. The ugliest, I am absolutely going to have to also give to that Lumberjill match. However, an honorable mention to Big E's wardrobe malfunction.
Well, it's surprising that you put the Fandango tag match in the last, since, you know, according to Triple H, Fandango's an A-plus player.
I think he is. I'm going to blame Damian Sandow and Cody Rhodes.
Fair enough.
There's a reason they got cut from last year's WrestleMania. All right, guys, we're going to take a short break here. When we come back, we're going to be wrapping up things up with our plugs. Please stay tuned. We got lots of things to tell you about going on in our world, and we certainly want y'all to hear about it.
Hey, 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 Dace Tattoo Nation, it is I, Chris, the Dace Man Dace, host of the Dace Man Show, checking in with you guys to let you know of a new podcast debuting April 13th called For Real Movie Club here on Mega Powers Radio. Join me for the month of April as I moderate a panel of four movie buffs and we discuss Mel Brooks' film. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, that's April 13th. Tune your radios to Mega Powers Radio, and ladies and gentlemen, it's showtime.
All right, let's conclude things out here by letting each panelist here tell you about what's good in their world. Miguel, what's good in the world of Miguel?
What's good in my world is the Retro Unlimited Network. And what's good specifically is tomorrow night's episode of the Untitled Movie Show. We're going to be discussing movie formats, history of movie formats, going all the way back from VHS and Laserdisc upward to the days of Blu-ray and digital. It's going to be very informative, maybe a little bit dry, but you'll get to learn stuff. So that's what's important. So check.
Now, Miguel, did you see what I posted in the Fanboys group the other day?
I did not. What did you post?
There's actually a brand new format that was just unveiled the other day. It was made with both the collaboration of Sony and Panasonic. It's going to be a 1 terabyte capacity disc.
I think I might have seen that one. I don't think it's going to be a consumer platform.
Yes, it is.
Oh, it's going to be for consumers?
Yes, it is. It's going to replace Blu-ray. They've already said that's why Sony and Panasonic did it together.
Huh. I'm going to have to peg that to the end of the episode. But if you guys are interested, check it out. It's the Untitled Movie Show tomorrow night, 8 o'clock on the Retro Unlimited Network on blogtalkradio.com. And just as a quick plug also, while you're there, if you're there on Thursday, check out the On Radio show with Travis Goss. I made a bit of an appearance on last week's show towards the end, and it seems like a fun show. You guys might like it. They just kind of, you know, joke around and talk about whatever odd bits of news they've got. So definitely check that out as well while I'm at it.
All right, Mr. Juego.
All right, you guys can check out Addicted to Anime April 27th. It's a monthly show here on Mega Powers Radio where we review various anime, manga, and other stuff in Japanese culture. We're going to be doing a episode and big discussion on Pokemon. We're going to cover the games, the anime, a bit of everything. And we're going to have a bigger cast than usual, but of course me and my wife will be there. And you can like us on Facebook via facebook.com/addictedanimefans. We've also got a Tumblr now that's also Addicted Anime Fans. And if you want to follow me, you can follow me at Steve Wago and Steven Wago on Tumblr.
And Tony.
I'll tell you what's really good. I have some of those little mini Edamame's cookies next to me. Oh, tasty. As far as my world, per the usual, we've got smarkoutmoment.com. For everything wrestling related, Smack Talk is on youtube.com/smarkoutmoment, as well as iTunes and Stitcher. You can find what I'm writing on Bleacher Report, doing coverage for WrestleMania, both on Smark Out Moment and Bleacher Report, and everything else under A Mango Tree you'll find by clicking all over the place.
All right. Thank you so much to the panelists this evening, and thank you everyone who listened in. Thank you to those who called in. Thanks to JD, Brian the Brain, Gio, a new caller this evening. Hope you all certainly continue calling in next week after the night after WrestleMania, I should say. Thanks to all y'all in the chat room. Creep was under radars. Grapple this production, so I guess has a wrestling show of his own. He says he's, oh my gosh, getting tongue-tied here at the end. He says he's going to give us a plug, so why don't I go ahead and give him a plug too. Check out Grapple This on Blog Talk Radio as well. Everyone, I have a March Madness tournament concluding right now over on Keeping Kayfabe. So if you hurry up and get your votes in, we're going to finish up the quarterfinals and head into the semifinals for who is the greatest tag team of all time. Getting really tight battles right now. I'm not going to run down each one of those. Head to keepingkayfabe.com though for more of that. Also check out the current Fantasy League scores. We all have our team set in there, and we're going to be having lots of big things shaken up as we're going into WrestleMania, where points are going to be quintupled, and very soon we're going to be announcing the rules for the next season and how you yourself may be able to get involved having your own fantasy league. And of course, folks, if you've enjoyed listening to this show tonight, please join us every single week here on blogtalkradio.com/megapowersradio or megapowersradio.com. You can also find the show archived every single week on smarkoutmoment.com. Just search for it there on the front page. You'll see it listed freshly every Tuesday morning, easy for you to find. We are the most interactive show. You could talk to us any single time throughout the week, not just here on the show. Find us on Twitter at Raw Post Show, on Facebook /Raw Post Show, and of course our Facebook group, facebook.com/groups/TheMegaManiacs, where you can chat with all of us and lots of other fans all throughout the week. Folks, this is the last stop before WrestleMania, so we hope y'all are going to have a fantastic time watching that show this weekend. We know we will. As we said, use those avenues to keep in touch with us as all those things are going on. And, of course, tune in next week for everyone here, for Miguel, for Steven Juego, for Tony Mango, and for everyone who's listening. I'm Mike Payton. We'll see y'all next week here on the Raw Post Show.
Hey, Dace Tattoo Nation, it is I, Chris, the Dace Man Dace, host of the Dace Man Show, checking in with you guys to let you know of a new podcast debuting April 13th called For Real Movie Club here on Mega Powers Radio. Join me for the month of April as I moderate a panel of four movie buffs and we discuss Mel Brooks films. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, that's April 13th. Tune your radios to Mega Powers Radio, and ladies and gentlemen, it's showtime.